Good early morning, church. Today we continue our study in the book of Philippians, chapter 2, verses 1 through verse 11. If you have your Bibles, you want to join us there as we read God's word together. So Paul today is speaking to this church that he loves so much, that have been a great supporter of him, but reminding them of something. Paul knew that the devil was not happy with this church. He knew that things in this church were not going, would eventually face criticism from within, and maybe face dissension from within, as human nature goes. The devil is not happy when God's people are doing fine and God's people are moving forward, and the church is winning the lost to Christ and discipling those who are saved. The devil's not happy with that. And Paul knows that the evil one would come against them, so he's reminding them of some very, very basic things in their life in Christ. And for us as a church, we need to be reminded of that too. I've been in Baptist church for 52 years, plus 9 months my mama carried me. But I have pastor friends from all different denominations. And we run into a lot of the same issues are there. You know why? Because it's a human problem. It's a sin problem. When the old nature wants to come up in Christians, we keep resurrecting it for some reason. When it comes back up, there seems to be issues and problems across the board in all Christianity. So Paul's letter is not just the First Baptist Church of Philippi, it's to the whole church. But listen, this applies to us locally, to be sure that we remain steadfast in growing in our faith in Christ. If you have your Bibles, Philippians chapter 2, verse 1 through 11. Be like Christ is Paul's reminder to the church. Be like Christ. I love what A.W. Tozer wrote in The Pursuit of God. He said, has it ever occurred to you that 100 pianos all tuned to the same fork are automatically tuned to each other? They are of one accord by being tuned not to each other, but to another standard to which each one must individually bow. So 100 worshipers met together, each one looking away to Christ, or in heart nearer to each other than they could possibly be if they were to become unity conscious and turn their eyes away from God to strive for closer fellowship. Christ is the example. Paul is encouraging the church to be like Christ. So we read together today, Philippians chapter 2, the first 11 verses. Paul says, therefore, if there is any encouragement in Christ, if there is any consolation of love, if there is any fellowship of the Spirit, if any affection and compassion, make my joy complete by being of the same mind, maintaining the same love, united in spirit, intent on one purpose. Do nothing from selfishness or empty conceit, but with humility of mind, regard one another as more important than yourselves. We can underline that in the scriptures. Do not merely look out for your own personal interests, but also for the interests of others. Have this attitude in yourselves, which was also in Christ Jesus, who, although he existed in the form of God, did not regard equality with God a thing to be grasped, but emptied himself, verse 7 says, but emptied himself, taking the form of a bondservant and being made in the likeness of men. Being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross. For this reason also, God highly exalted him and bestowed on him the name which is above every name, so that the name of Jesus every knee will bow, of those who are in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and that every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Let's pray together. Father God, today, your word speaks for itself. God, today I pray for your church. In a world that it seems to be so chaotic, where so much oppression, where persecution is happening, Lord, we lift up the church to you today. Lord, fill us with your Holy Spirit, that we try not to live this life on our own. God, that we try not to live this life in our own power and our own strength. God, the devil schemes against the church and begins to pull at people. People get opinionated and people get selfish in so many ways. Teach us today, God, how to be like Christ. Teach us how to have that giving, sacrificial being, that attitude that our Savior had. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. So let's dive right into this passage of Scripture. The first thing Paul calls for the church of Philippi, and the church even of 2020 today, is to be unified. So the first thing we see is that we need to live with unity in Christ Jesus. Unity in Christ Jesus. Listen, God doesn't want a lot of robots around, running around, but he sure does want people who are unified together, because their eyes are on Christ, not on each other, not on themselves. Oh, the church struggles today, because so many have their eyes on themselves rather than on Christ. What's good for me, my opinion, is all about me. What I want is mine. And we take our eyes off of Christ. Verse 1 and 2 says from the English Standard Version, so if there's any encouragement in Christ, any comfort from love, any participation in the Spirit, any affection and sympathy, complete my joy by being of the same mind, having the same love, being in full accord and of one mind. This passage begins in the New American Standard Version as, therefore if. Maybe your translation says, so if. But we must really understand the meaning in Greek here. The if here actually equals to the word since. Now let's read it again. Therefore, since you have encouragement in Christ, since you have consolation of love, since you have fellowship of the Spirit, since you have affection and compassion, since you have been blessed in Christ Jesus, you have this life in Christ. Verse 2. Because you have all of this, since you have these things in Christ already, church, you already have all that you need. Keep your focus on Christ. Don't turn away. Don't look from side to side. Don't get selfish. Don't resurrect the old nature. Stay in the new nature in Christ. You already have it all. Not that you have to gain more. You have Christ. You have all. Paul says in verse 2, make my joy complete by being of the same mind, maintaining the same love, unified in spirit, intent on one purpose. He's saying, stay unified, church. Stay together. Keep your focus on Christ. Keep your mind on Christ, and all things will fall in place as they should. But why don't we do that? Listen, being in church for all those years, I've seen some stuff. And many of you have been in church many, many years, and you've seen people act like the world rather than the church. You've seen people act very ugly toward one another in the church with no repentance. Paul is saying, this is not the way you're supposed to act. Now, he loved the church of Philippi, and they were great supporters. Paul probably got word that there was a little dissension in the church. They were talking to each other in an ugly way, or maybe there's one little click over here and another little click over here, as people tend to do. And they were, didn't like something. They didn't like the color of the carpet at the church, the color of the shingles, whatever. Stupid arguments I've heard. Whatever the issue was, Paul wanted to shut it down. Now, he wasn't scolding them like he did with so many other churches, letters to the churches. He wasn't addressing a problem that's already there. He was trying to nip it in the bud, so to speak, before it even began. Here's how you should be doing church, doing life together, Christians. In Christ, you already have all these things. Now, be of the same mind. Urge the Philippian church to be unified. Notice he didn't tell them to do it in their own power. Depend on their own power to strengthen their fellowship. No, Paul named the things Christ has already given them that draws them together. In church, today, like the church of Philippi, we're bonded together because of Christ. If you were in Christ, we are bonded together by the Holy Spirit. Why should we go back to old nature, old opinions, old selfishness? And Christ is saying, when Paul is telling, you're in Christ. We're saved and we're regenerated by the Holy Spirit of God. We're given grace that flows from us to others. Man, when brothers and sisters in Christ quit working with one another with grace and forgiveness, there's an issue. It's a spiritual issue. It's not a personality conflict. It's a spiritual issue that goes deep-rooted. And maybe somebody who's saying they're saved is actually lost. You may hear me say that a lot of times. You know why? Because it burdens me when saved people act like lost people in the church. We're supposed to be regenerated by the Holy Spirit, made alive, made new. But man, people fighting in church, arguing, disagreeing, can't stand one another, holding grudge against one another. I don't like that person. I'm not going over there. Is so-and-so going to be there? Then I'll just avoid that place. We're bonded together in Christ. We must always keep our hearts focused on Christ Jesus. He is the one, listen, he is the one that keeps us in tune personally. Because when we're in tune personally with him, we will be in tune with other brothers and sisters who are personally in tune with him. So when a person is not in tune with Christ, the old nature starts showing up and showing out, and it's very easy to see someone who is not walking with Christ as they should. It's a no-brainer. Look the way they're acting. Look at their attitude. Look at what they're spewing out. Look at the fruit that they're bearing out. It becomes very evident. That's not judging someone. That's just looking at the fruit. Let's see. Ugliness, vile attitude, gossiping, harshness toward those who are in the church. I see the fruit. It's not judging. You can determine a fig tree by the figs. You can determine an orange tree by the oranges. You can determine an apple tree by the apples. You can determine by what's there. But when we keep in tune with Jesus, on a personal level, we are supernaturally unified together in fellowship. Most of the issues that arise as problems in church is that people take their spiritual eyes off Jesus and they begin inserting opinions and personalities and likes and dislikes. The spirit of dissension, that's the way Satan works. The spirit of dissension and selfishness and greed and power and influence. Listen, that begins to stir people, and sin of gossip and jealousy stretch the very bonds of unity and purpose and harmony. And Satan gets a stronghold in people's lives. And when he gets a stronghold in Christians' lives, he gets a stronghold in the church, the local body. How many Christians, even this morning in this gathering, how many Christians Satan really does have a stronghold on? How many people are actually battling in this sinful attitude, this sinful thing in their life that Satan's got a stronghold on them and it's affecting everything and it's influencing everything? And they don't like this person and that person and that person. And Satan is always throwing something at them. Oh, ugliness. Listen, we're all in this battle together. All of us are in this battle together, this spiritual battle against Satan. Don't let him in your camp. Paul says, since you know Jesus, since you are in the Spirit, since you know his love, since you know his affection and compassion, be of the same mind. Unity. Maintain the same love. Be united in spirit and intent on one purpose. Some people have different purposes for going to church and being part of a local church. But your intent should be to glorify God first. Yes, we do missions. Yes, we are part of, because missions open opportunities to share the gospel of Christ. Oh yes, we're about discipleship. Yes, we're about loving one another and creating a community of faith. Yes, but it's God first. If we do anything else and put that above honoring and worshiping God and serving Him first, then there's a problem. God first, loving first, and loving most. And because we put Christ first in our lives, it's easy to love other people. And there's some people out there that are a little difficult to love. They're a little difficult to I'm not saying everybody has a wonderful personality and there are some difficult people to get along with. But you know who the most difficult person to get along with is? The person that you see in the mirror. Because you lie to yourself every day. You falsify documents against you. Oh, goodness. That's a different sermon. So Paul says, be unified. The second thing he says, live in humility through Christ Jesus. Live in humility. Verse 3 and 4 says, do nothing from selfish ambition or conceit, but in humility count others more significant than yourselves. Let each of you look not only to his own interest, but also to the interest of others. Paul had to address this real quick to the Philippi because in Greek culture, humility was not looked on as a great virtue like we see today. Humility was really looked down upon. They looked at it as a curse, not a virtue that we strive for. See, Paul is reminding these Christians to live in Christ, be like Christ. Verse 3 says, do nothing from selfishness or empty conceit. Pride and selfishness and arrogance has no place in a believer's life, and it has no place in the church. You know, some of the most arrogant people I've met have been in the church. Because of their talent or their giftedness. and they want everybody else to know. And they want it exhibited. They want praise. They want everyone to thank them and to appreciate them. And that's so not biblical. What Paul says here, because there, I'm sure there are some very talented people there. He's like, listen, don't be selfish and do nothing out of empty conceit. Dave Hunt said this, the average person who claims to believe in God, as does the vast majority of America, is too preoccupied with himself to give God much time or serious thought. But we all believe in God. No, we don't. Watchman Lee said it this way. He said, the flesh makes self the center and elevates self-will above God's will. It may serve God, but it's always according to its idea, not according to God's. It will do what is good in its own eyes. Self is the principle behind every action. It's calling us out, huh? It's calling us out. Are we really working at church? Are we really serving God because we see the bigger vision of what God is trying to do in the community? Or do we want someone to give us some accolades? And, you know, those folks down there at the church, they're doing that, and I just didn't have a say-so in it, and I'm just upset about all that, and I don't know why. I gave them an idea, and they didn't do it. Sad, sad story. Welcome to the Church of 400 Growing. Because our ideas is not always God's will. I'm not saying it's a bad idea, it's just not God's will. Sometimes God tells us to go the hard way. Well, it'd be so easy, Brother Kevin, if you did this. Who's to say that's God's way? You know, it'd been easy for God to take the children of Israel out of Egypt and just lead them right on into the promised land and defeat everybody and give them a home. But no, he made them wander for 40 years. And he wiped out everybody over 20 years old. And just let the young ones go through. Because he wanted to purify. God has a way of purifying things. So our opinions, the things that we want, often it's not the way God wants. Paul is reminding the faithful believers that the battle is with self. This battle with self is real and must be defeated each day in the power of the Holy Spirit. How many times we want God's will to be our way? That's a strong question. We're praying for healing. We're praying for someone not to pass. They've been in a bad accident, and we're praying for them to get better. And they die! How many times we want to try to impose our will on God's will? Because our minds are so finite, we can't see what God is doing in the bigger picture. How many times we want God's will to be our way? We think our way is better than everyone else's way, including God's. We battle not with self so much, but we battle with in coercing, plotting, and scheming, and tricking, and manipulating other people to give up the things that they're doing to do it our way. People do that with their own family. People manipulate their own family to try to get them to do what they want them to do. They manipulate them with their words. They manipulate them with their money. They manipulate them with their inheritance. They give them the cold shoulder. They shut them out. They quit inviting the family thing. with their own family. Because this child and they won't do it the way I want them to do it. How foolish we are to attempt to control others through deceptive, selfish means to make others do what we want them to do. Church, does this hit home? Does this hit personally? Does this hit your family? Is this hit what you're trying to do? We try to do it in the church too. Church won't get rid of a pastor so bad they quit tithing. Well, so you're disobedient to God to get rid of a pastor. No, you be obedient to God. Move, God will move that knucklehead out of the way when he wants to. The first part of verse 3 says, do nothing from selfish and empty conceit. The latter part of verse 3 says, but with humility of mind, regard one another as more important than yourselves. Regard other people as more important than yourselves. Hey, that's a light bulb moment for us. That we should look at other people as more important than ourselves. It's not only love other people like ourselves. Paul is saying, listen, we should look at them and treat them better than we treat ourselves. What? Brother Kevin, you just don't know. It's hard enough to love some people just like me. It's hard enough to love some people. But to treat them better than, treat them more significant than myself? See, Paul leads them here somewhere. Because you're in Christ, because you have the Spirit, because you have the love, because you have the compassion in Christ, take a step back, be unified, but take a step back in humility and treat other people better than yourself. Look at them as more, being more significant than you. Humility is a modest or low view of one's own importance. Don't think more highly of yourself than you ought to. I tell my staff from time to time, we're all replaceable. Everybody except Jesus Christ. We're all replaceable. We're all replaceable. It may take a little while, but the Lord will send the right one. A.W. Tozer said, for the Christian, humility is absolutely indispensable. Without it, there can be no self-knowledge, no repentance, no faith, no salvation. See, there are a lot of people who walk an aisle, shake a hand with a preacher, shed a few tears because they're really sorry about the bad things that they've done, but they really don't want to humble themselves to God to be saved. They just really feel bad about what they've done. And they really want heaven to be their home. They really don't want to go to hell. Nobody does. But they really don't want to submit themselves to the lordship of Jesus Christ. Does that bring home? Hey, Brother Kevin, that's kind of judging people, huh? No, after 20 years of being in ministry, you kind of see a pattern. You see, those who are humbled in Christ Jesus stay on track with the Holy Spirit leading them, and they persevere through life, serving God. But those who do not, after they feel a little bit better about themselves, they're right back out in the world. That's judging, though, just looking at the fruit. Just looking at the fruit. C.S. Lewis said, humility is not thinking less of yourself, it's thinking of yourself less. This does not mean that you are to be a silent voice. It does not mean that you take, but it does mean that you take a step back to allow others to use their gifts, their talents, their skills to glorify God. It doesn't mean that you're a nothing. It means that you are a leader, that you take a step back. Even though you can do something, you're going to show and you're going to help others do better. Because the next verse, verse 4 says, do not merely look out for your own personal interest, but also for the interest of others. We truly are our brother's keeper. In a good way. We're not to enable them to keep doing harmful things to their life and to their family. That's wrong. But we are to be people to help others succeed in life and become everything that God has ever intended them to be. And we may just be a passing ship in the night with them, but we can help them along the way. You see, we are to look out for the interest of others. There are people that God sends into your life. Listen, don't try to be the boss of them. You want to be a leader? Then you help them succeed. What? Guess what Jesus did? Everyone has a purpose to fulfill in this life. And if we kind of hold people back from doing it so we can be the star, so we can be the person, we're out of God's will. We are. Paul is telling this church, look to the interest of others and help them. See, don't be arrogant like the Corinthian church. Don't be arrogant because I've given you these gifts. No. Listen, be humble and look to the interest of others. Think of themselves as better than you. That's a lot to swallow on a Sunday morning. Because it's so against what the world tells us. It's so against what we hear from the world. It's so against what other people say about us. How do you handle compliments? Do you thrive on compliments? Or do you work real hard to get other people to appreciate you? You know what that's called? Codependency. That you have to have it. Affirmation. To feel good about yourself. No, you're in Christ. Do it for Christ. Third thing we go is we move along. Paul says, be all these things because you have a great example. This servant attitude of Christ. Verse 5 says, have this attitude in yourselves which was also in Christ Jesus. Well, the question comes up, well, what kind of attitude did Christ Jesus have? Listen, we have to realize that Jesus is our model. Now, listen, there's more to him than just being an example, just being a model. There's more to him than that. But look, he is our model. He is our example. Because of Christ, we realize that servanthood is a true mark of leadership. A true mark. By being a servant. By being the lowest of the low. A servant. Christ exemplifies true greatness and models excellent leadership because he did not use his position to really excuse himself from service. Actually, Jesus saw meeting the needs of others a true mean to lead them. To give, to put into other people's lives. He became a servant to them. Verse 6 says, who although he existed, talking about Jesus, although he existed in the form of God, did not regard equality with God a thing to be grasped. Verse 7 says, but emptied himself, taking the form of a bondservant and being made in likeness of man. Listen, in the verse 6, this word translated form comes from a Greek word also, morphe, which means that which corresponds inwardly to an outward appearance. What he's saying is that Jesus is God. Jesus is God. Even though he came in the form of a man, he came 100% man, 100% God. He's still the same. He didn't give anything up. Paul is saying that the Son of God shares fully in the very essence of God. Jesus Christ is very God, a very God. In other words, he's still God. Verse 7 says, and Jesus emptied himself. He's God of all the universe, creator of all things, both seen and unseen. He is God of the spirit world, and the physical. Jesus. But verse 7 says, he emptied himself, taking the form of a bondservant and being made in the likeness of man. Jesus left his divine kingdom where he is Lord to become a human being. Jesus is both God and man, 100% both of each. But he emptied himself. And he took on a human nature and body without subtracting from himself any of his divine attributes. In Jesus, the whole fullness of the deity dwells for all eternity. Colossians tells us that, chapter 1, verse 19 to 20. He says, for it was the Father's good pleasure for all the fullness to dwell in him, and through him to reconcile all things to himself, having made peace through the blood of his cross. Verse 8 of Philippians tells us, being found in the appearance as a man, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross. Listen, Jesus chose not to fully manifest his divine nature. Could you imagine? He had it all. Jesus Christ had it all. Everything. He is supreme Lord over all. King of kings, Lord of lords. And he chose to leave that to fulfill the Father's plan. The providential plan of God. Because man sinned. God's plan was already there to cover it. That he took on the form of a man. In other words, he emptied himself. He chose not to have all this divine nature to bring in here to the earth, so he could truly relate to you and me and suffer like we suffer. And not only suffer, he suffered the death of a cross, on the cross, the most humiliating death. Naked before thousands of people who would pass by. Humiliated for your sins and my sins. That's Jesus. Look at your example. He left everything to become nothing. Everything. What about you? You get a phone call to come help do something? Well, I just don't have time. Okay. Next round, get a phone call. Well, we need some help down here. Well, I don't have time. You know, the sad part is Jesus left everything to become a servant leader for us, to show us a way. Not only save us from our sin, but to show us a way. And sometimes we won't even have time for God. Church, never think for one second that we are higher than our Savior. Paul says that we are to be humble, not boastful or proud, and that we're to serve Jesus by serving other people. The last thought is that Jesus was exalted. Verse 9 through 11 tells us this from New Living Translation. Therefore, God elevated him to the place of highest honor and gave him the name above all other names, that at the name of Jesus every knee shall bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue declare that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Jesus Christ left his home, left everything. He fulfilled the Father's will to pay the debt for our sins. God's gift of grace in his Son Jesus frees us from our sin. We're to worship him. We're to serve him by serving others. We're to choose to be humble in the Spirit, ourselves to be servants. You can learn something from this. So Jesus Christ is our example. He left everything to become a servant. Not only to serve for 33 and a half years to show us the way that we should live and treat one another, but to exalt God. But then he died on the cross as a servant leader. He died on the cross, the lowest point that he could during this time. He died on the cross for your sins and mine to free us from our sin so that we too can live the life like he lived. Not to make much of ourselves, but to make much of God. To live in humility. To live together in unity. And it's difficult. It's hard. It requires something of us. There's a cost to being a disciple of Christ. But what we can learn right here at the very end is that just as Christ was exalted, we will be rewarded. All the time that you suffered for Christ, all the time that you worked and served for Christ to give Christ honor, not for a pat on the back, but that your works pass the test of purity, that you did it for Christ. Oh, listen, you'll be rewarded. The Bible says that God exalts you. What? That God exalts you. Yes, yes, yes. Right here, closing. Listen to this. Matthew chapter 25, verse 21 says, "The master replied, 'Well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful with a few things, I will put you in charge of many things. Go. Come and share your master's happiness.'" See, you don't need to make a name for yourself. Humbly serve God and he will make a name for you. But it's always a name in Christ. James chapter 4, verse 10 says, "Humble yourselves in the presence of the Lord, and he will exalt you." So as we're serving, he says, be united in fellowship. Church, be united. Why? Because your eyes are on Christ. Your eyes are not on each other. Your eyes are on Christ. Quit comparing yourself to someone else. Keep your eyes on Christ. Live in humility. Look to the interest of others. Treat others better than yourself. Listen, lift them up. Help them along the way. Help them become everything that God wanted them to be. Why? Because our example is Christ Jesus. Christ is our example. Look what he did. He left heaven, came to earth, served on earth, then died the lowest death of all. Most painful, excruciating, humiliating death for our sins. And God exalted him. Listen, you live your life for Christ Jesus. You be the servant. Be like Christ. And in the very end, Christ will exalt you. See, it's not your best life now. You can throw that to the side. It's not your best life now. Your best life is coming. It's coming. Jesus is bringing you rewards with him. For you. For all eternity. Not till the day you die. For all eternity. Oh, do you know him today? Church, be like Christ. Are you living like Christ today? Church, can we honestly say that we are in a place in our life that we're serving God? That we are truly being the people that God has called us to be? Or have we just kind of been doing our own thing? well, you know, it fits me better to do this way or to do that.
Yeah, but it doesn't fit the Bible.
And this is what we go by. Unity Church. We don't need everybody's opinions. We don't need selfishness. You don't need selfishness from me. You don't need selfishness from one another. We don't need to find elbow room. We keep our eyes on Christ. And it's amazing. It's amazing. Unity in the Holy Spirit of God that this church will have. Not only this church, another church. Now I know somebody going to walk out here. Man, he was preaching to the church today. Goodness. Somebody must have done something. No, if you just followed along, we're in chapter 2 of Philippians. And what God brings his messages, he brings his messages. If the shoe fits, wear that baby. Today as we close this message out, this altar is open. Pastor Brian will come out and lead us in a word. His closing song. Maybe you just want to pray for your church. Maybe you just want to pray and lift up. Maybe you want to pray for your family. Maybe you want to pray for yourself. Maybe you are a controlling person that just is, you're just not at peace because your things aren't going your way. In your family, in your life, in your marriage, and whatever. Maybe you just need to say, God, here I am. Help me keep my heart. Let's pray together. Father God, today we exalt you. Lord, you're so good to us. Thank you for the word that Paul wrote to the church of Philippi so many years ago that we can still grow from. It's simple. It's plain. It's laid out there. Oh, but God, your Holy Spirit is digging deep in our soul today. Because we get so caught up in the world. We get caught up looking at what expectations other people have on us rather than the expectations that you have on us. We prioritize so many things above you. We prioritize so many things that please the flesh, even temporarily, and we push you aside. Speak to us today, God. Line us up with your will, not your will, God. Teach us today, in Jesus' name. Amen.